you think it's time to start building another ark or maybe a fireproof building? Is the world as wicked today as it was when Noah was on the earth? This morning on After the Sunrise, Pastor Darrell talks about the times of Noah and how it compares to the things that are happening in our world today. Today's program is titled, As in the Days of Noah.
Good morning and welcome to After the Sunrise. My name is Pastor Darrell Cardwell from the North Salem Church of God. That, of course, was Judy Garland singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. The other day I was listening to Sunny 101.5 and a listener called in and told Jack, Shelley, and Bruce of the morning show about this giant rainbow that was hovering over South Bend in Mishawaka. I believe it was on Wednesday morning. I guess eventually a second rainbow even formed, and it was quite just amazing to see both of them there together. The listener started singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I must say it was quite entertaining. The rainbow was a sign of a covenant or an agreement that God made with all of mankind. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 11 through 17, it says this, I establish my covenant with you, never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it'll be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring the clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I'll remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. But why was there a need for the covenant in the first place? Unfortunately, it was because of the wickedness of man that God decided to destroy all of mankind and every living creature on the face of the earth. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7 says this, The Lord saw how great of man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men, animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. We might ask, what kind of evil was mankind so involved in that God decided to destroy his own creation? To me, that question doesn't even matter. God is all-knowing. He understands the hearts of all of mankind. He knows our thoughts and our desires before we even think them. Therefore, he must have thought that man was deserving of destruction, or he wouldn't have done so. So we know what God told Noah to do. First of all, we have to realize that only Noah and his family were found who were the ones that found favor in the sight of God. So God gave Noah the instructions on how to build the ark, and also what animals and how many he should gather to take on board with him. Hebrews 11:7 says this, By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah had never even seen rain before. He saw the mist that comes from the dew that's in the mornings. He saw the rivers, how they watered the fields, but he never had really seen rain that had fallen from the sky. But God told him what was going to happen, and God was willing to spare Noah's life and his family's by building in an ark. I have a question. Is the world any different today than it was in the time of Noah? Is mankind any better than we were before the flood? God promised that he would never destroy the earth with water ever again. But unfortunately, there is coming a day of destruction. A day of destruction that has never been seen before. And once again, the wicked will be destroyed. The scriptures give us many reasons why. And if you would, please allow me to share with you a few of those scriptures to talk about why man will be destroyed. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires to battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend what you have to get your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship of the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God." I don't know about you, but I would hate to become an enemy of God. But unfortunately, because of our sinful state, we have become that enemy, and God will have to destroy the wickedness that is in mankind today. We ask, but we don't receive because we ask for the wrong motives. What do you ask God for things? What do you ask Him, or how do you ask Him? Do you ask because you want or need? Why do you ask? Well, God knows your heart. Therefore, you better be careful as to what you ask and how you ask for them, because oftentimes we do ask for the wrong motives. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it talks about the acts of the sinful nature. This is contrary to what is called the fruit of the Spirit. Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." That's a pretty blatant list that Paul listed for the Galatians in his letter to them. Do those sound like anything that's happening today? Is there things that are listed, drunkenness and orgies and hatred and fits of rage? What do we call road rage? I know that sounds pretty simple, but there are people who go crazy on the highways. There's people who are drunk all the time. Some people can't wait for the weekends to go out and get drunk. Unfortunately, it might not just be the weekends. It could be the whole week. They just, after work, they're tired. What do? They go get drunk. They go home. Well, let's just say that sometimes their family life is not the greatest because of the stupid things that they do. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says this, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes from the Father, but not from the world." Excuse me, let me read that again. "For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." The other day I was listening to the radio, and I do that in the car all the time. But as I was listening, there was a news story about the three men who happened to be caught trying to sell fake tickets to the Notre Dame game. Well, what were they trying to do? What were they trying to get? Their own evil desires, well, they were caught. And it says that if convicted, they might serve up to 8 years in prison. Is selling a piece of false paper worth 8 years to go to prison for? It would be interesting to hear how that case turns out. It's amazing what people will do just to get a buck. They'll steal from you, they'll look you right in the face, and they don't even bat an eye. It's man's cravings. It's man's desire, what he sees. The boasting that he puts forth. This is not the will of the Father, but the will of the world. In Revelation chapter 21, the scriptures give us a beautiful picture of the kingdom of God. But right after that description, the description of the beautiful kingdom, it gives a list of those who will not inherit the kingdom. It might surprise you as to who will not be there. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Another name for the fiery lake is the lake of fire, which is hell. And John said in this, he says, this is the second death. Unfortunately, man has been appointed once to die. Because of Adam's disobedience in the garden, man has to die. God told Adam, for dust you are, and dust you will return. But the thing is that if we live into a sinful state of life, we'll be destroyed again. We'll die once more in the lake of fire. And I hope and pray that you will not be in that when Jesus comes back. You know, this might sound like a gloom and doom message, and in a way it is. Unfortunately, mankind is still on the same path as we were before the flood. God won't use water to destroy the earth, but he will destroy the earth with fire. And the wicked of mankind, they will be consumed by that fire. It used to be that preachers would preach a message, what they would call a hellfire and damnation message. Unfortunately, some preachers have become soft and want to preach what we'll call the love side of God. Some preachers would rather serve cotton candy from the pulpit than letting their congregations know that if they're not on the right path that leads to salvation, that they'll be destroyed in the lake of fire. I will not preach fluff. I cannot do that because I believe the scriptures are very plain. I want to tell you this morning, if you're living in the ways of the world, you will be destroyed in the lake of fire. Let me repeat that. If you're living in the ways of the world, you will surely be destroyed in the lake of fire. Exodus 34:7 says, God will not let the guilty go unpunished. So what can we do to get out of the path of destruction? There's only one way, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus told us that we have two choices, and it's up to us to make the choice as to which path we want to take. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 say, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Are you one of the few who will find the path that leads to life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. We always seem to have the answer for everything. Some people believe that if we have love and charity for our fellow man, we'll have life. Well, I'm here to tell you those things are great, but it's not the way that leads to the kingdom of God. Those are great things to go along with, the things that lead to the kingdom, but those things will not save you. Let me repeat that. Love and charity will not get you into the kingdom of God. One of my favorite verses is found in the book of Isaiah. It's a prophecy of Jesus in chapter 53. It talks about the things that Jesus had to suffer before his crucifixion and his resurrection. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says this, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Another word for iniquity is sin. You know, sheep are dumb. In the Chicago stockyards, they used to use goats that would lead sheep into the slaughter, and then the goat would run out the other side and come back around to pick up another herd of sheep to take them back into the slaughter. They were known as the Judas goat. Sheep are dumb. They need a shepherd. They need to have some direction. Well, like sheep, we've all gone astray. We go our own way. We do the things that are contrary to God's will. We live a sinful life. We don't follow the path that leads to life. We follow the path that leads to destruction. We're all sinners. The scripture is very plain. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me, that's you, that's your neighbor, it's the people overseas, it's everywhere in the world. Mankind, we are sinners. And it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ can we find the path that leads to life eternal in God's kingdom. God laid on Jesus our sins. In fact, the scriptures say that Jesus became sin by taking on the sins of the entire world. You see, there isn't much difference between the days of the flood and what the days of the present day is right now. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, "Just as it is in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day of Noah when he entered into the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same ways in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying, selling, planting, and building. But the day that Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like that on the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Who is the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. You know, just like it is in the days of Noah, we are living in a time before the flood of destruction will come once again. We need to find a way that leads to life. And that way, as Jesus said, "I am the way." I hope that each of you this morning have Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you don't, I want to talk to you. I want you to get in touch with me. I'd love to tell you what the scriptures have to say. No, I'm not perfect, but I do know what the scriptures say, and I have found Christ, and I am living a life that's worthy to be called His. And I want you to have that portion of life also, life that leads to the kingdom of God. Three of my favorite verses, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, says this, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." See, the scriptures are very clear. If you have Christ as Savior, you have life. We're not talking about life that's temporary like today. We're talking about eternal life in the kingdom of God. But the scriptures are also very plain on the other side. If you do not have Christ, there's only one thing that you do have: death. Death in the lake of fire. You have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, death is yours. And the thing is that the choice is actually yours. You have to make a conscious decision as to have Jesus Christ as Savior or not have Him as Savior. It's up to you. And I pray that each of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope that I've given you something to think about this morning. I believe that we truly are in the days of Noah. Just as it is in the day of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man is revealed. It won't be long before Jesus comes back. If you have any questions or would like to talk to me, Tara's going to tell you in a few minutes how to get in touch with us. We would love to talk to you about salvation. We would love to talk to you about the kingdom of God. We'd like to tell you how to have life everlasting. Until next week, I will share another message with you from the scriptures after the sunrise.
We are excited to share something really neat with you this morning. After the Sunrise has received 9 requests for copies of the radio program CDs. 2 of the requests came from Canada and Australia and from 7 other states here in the United States. If you would like copies of the CDs, you can contact us at afterthesunrise@mchsi.com or send us a letter to After the Sunrise, 13263 4th Road, Plymouth, Indiana, 46563. There is no cost for the radio program CDs, and they are great to share with those folks in the hospital or who are shut in and can't make it to worship. Our church is located at the corner of 4th and North Michigan Roads. Be sure to read the Pastor's Corner each Saturday morning on the Faith page in the Plymouth Pilot News. Sunday school begins at 9:30 and worship at 10:30. We look forward to sharing with you again next week after the sunrise.